This is Audible.
Fantasy Swap Online, a gender-swapped lit RPG adventure. Written by Allison Bell. Narrated by J.J. Janess. Chapter 1. I sauntered into the tavern and plunked a fat bag of gold down on the innkeeper's bar.
"Your finest cut of meat and a tankard of ale," I demanded.
Kurth, the innkeep, eyed me sternly, and we glared at one another for a long moment before breaking into familiar grins and laughing at one another.
"It's good to see you again, Cromgorn," he said,
waving to his help to retrieve the food and drink I'd asked for. He nodded to my bag.
"It looks like your adventuring has gone well today, old friend."
I nodded at the NPC, impressed as usual at how well the AI simulated conversation, and even remembered my character from the last time we'd spoken.
"I've been busy in the swamps of No Hope," I replied. "Those Gerlocks are nasty, the way they come in packs, but the treasure troves they hide under the water are worth the effort."
I patted the hilt of the two-handed, level 47, shining sword of evil slaying that hung over my shoulder and across my muscled back in a leather harness. It was a purple, epic-quality item, ultra-rare, that I'd acquired as a lucky drop on my last dungeon run with my friends Haxor and Jazzus. That meant it was at least as good as a regular magic item 10 levels higher, and as a level 48 barbarian, I didn't expect to get anything better for quite a while. Without such a great weapon, I doubt I could have faced down the monsters in the 50-plus swamps of No Hope Zone unless I had a healer. It was nice to be able to solo like that when my friends weren't online. It wasn't a luxury I usually had as a tanky DPS class. Kurth nodded back, polishing a cup that never quite seemed to be clean enough to set back on the shelf behind him. It seemed like every innkeeper NPC had one of those.
"That's dangerous, Cromgorn, even with your weapons. But I'm impressed you did so well. Gods know I wouldn't want to risk my life in such a dreary place. Well, in any case, your food should be right up."
He shook his head and turned to another PC who had come up to the bar, a level 32 halfling rogue, and began to make similar small talk. I swiveled on my bar stool and surveyed the inn as I waited for the food I'd ordered, taking in the sights and sounds of Kurth's establishment here in the city of Minsk, capital of the kingdom of Lorengard. The tavern was filled with a mix of PCs and NPCs, but fewer real players than there might be at otherwise peak hours. In the real world, it was 2 a.m., and most people were asleep. But here in the online, massively multiplayer, full-immersion virtual reality game Fantasy Realms Online, there were still some diehard players like me, online, eking out a few last adventures before bed, alongside the day shift workers and the small number of Europeans that played on U.S. servers. Even after the months I'd spent playing the game and leveling my fierce half-giant barbarian powerhouse, I was still amazed by how realistic the game was. If I didn't have my in-game HUD turned on, displaying hovering names and levels for all the locals around me, I'm not sure I would have been able to tell the player-controlled PCs apart from the computer AI-controlled NPCs. The full immersion virtual reality was incredible, and thanks to the recent advanced with-brain integration technology that no one but a few MIT eggheads understood, they could basically simulate every sensation from the satisfying gurgly crunch that a Gerlock made as you clobbered its head with a mace to the mouth-wateringly delicious taste of a slice of prime roast rib.
"Order up,"
a busty barmaid declared, setting just such a cut of meat in front of me and sliding my requested tankard across the bar, ale sloshing around inside. She winked at me and flounced back into the kitchen, attractive hips swaying enticingly. Food and drink aren't the only sensations we're simulating, though, I reflected as I watched her go. I tore into my meat, enjoying the savory, expertly spiced flavor, and washed it down with a long pull of stout, frothy ale. As I chewed, I turned my attention to the other attractive sight nearby, the bouncing breasts of the NPC tavern whore being dandled on the knee of a wizard sitting at the fireplace. He was only level 5, but then, some players prefer to just enjoy the novel experiences of a fantasy world rather than also going adventuring to level up like I did. Sex and food were every bit as good in the virtual world with the direct brain interface as they were in the real world. And I couldn't fault someone who wanted to spend time experiencing those things when they weren't practicing magic or swordplay. Besides, spending time with NPC prostitutes wasn't nearly as weird as the players who purposefully specialized in leveling up their sex and charm skills just to end up as a high-level whore. The game used a softer class name, courtesan, in an effort to be more politically correct, but we all knew that was just a fancy word for whore. I didn't understand players who picked that class at all. Regardless, that was the least of the game's problems when it came to public opinion. There was already a moral panic and public outcry against this new form of entertainment, with people claiming, as they always had with everything from books to video games, that it was too stimulating, too exciting. People were getting too addicted and neglecting their families, pearl-clutching mothers declared in widely shared social media articles. With my 60-plus hours per week spent in-game leveling Kromgorn, I'd probably fall right into the description as one of the poor souls in need of saving for myself. But that was stupid. I wasn't hurting anyone, and it's not like I had anything better to do. I had a dead-end job I put just enough hours into to let me keep playing the game, an aging mother I lived with who mostly ignored me, and no RL friends or girlfriend I liked well enough to bother caring about. Nope. My life was online. My friends were here, and that's how I wanted it. I cut off another slice of my delicious roast beef and slid it into my mouth, chewing happily. I certainly couldn't afford to live this lavishly in the real world. Fantasy Realms Online was a dream come true to me. Putting in just 60 hours per week? Ha! I wish I could spend all my time here. It was a sentiment lots of players shared, and I knew more than a few players had started doing research on how to make that possible without your body dying in the real world from lack of nutrition. I was just finishing the last bits of my meal when my eyes were drawn to a tiny male symbol that began blinking at me in the corner of my HUD. I tapped it, curious who'd be pinging me at this hour. It was my friend Jazzus, a level 42 high elf wizard.
Kromgorn, her message read. I'm so glad you're online. I need you to get over to the burning fields right away. Vierdemann is planning something big, and I'm not sure what it is. We should investigate.
I frowned. Jazzus was pretty cool and collected. She played the part of the calm, high elven wizard quite well. But this message sounded unusually urgent to me. Vierdemann was the head of a rival guild of players called the Secret Order, which was a dumb name if you asked me. They clashed constantly with our own guild, Shining Army, over in-game land and resources. Our guild had 30 or 40 players in it, about as many as theirs did, and one of us was always assigned to snoop on them to make sure they weren't encroaching on our territory. Their leader, Vierdemann, was an 80th level lich, the class you got when you maxed out your level in both wizardry and necromancy. The guy was a legend. He'd been one of the first players on the server, the first one to discover that secret classes existed if you maxed out the right skills, and the only player to successfully unlock the lich class so far and wield the powerful spells that came with it. He was one of the guys who people said was trying to do research on how to live your whole life in the game. If Vierdemann was personally up to something, Jazzus really would need my help. Neither of us were powerful enough to take on Vierdemann in a head-to-head fight. Not that I would mind trying, but we stood a better chance if we were together. Higher levels made you more powerful, not invincible. I sent her a quick reply that I was on my way and reached for my bag of gold, but was surprised to see that it was gone. What the hell? I quickly scanned the bar and noticed the halfling rogue was gone too.
God damn it, I swore.
What had his name been? I quickly scrolled through my chat history log and found it. Erlix, level 32, halfling rogue. I hissed through my teeth. That gold had taken me hours of digging through Gerlach muck to collect. I didn't mind battling NPCs or having them try to rob me, but players who would be so careless as to try random acts of PvP robbing or attacking infuriated me. That was how you started Guild Wars. Erlich seemed to be ungilded, so he was probably just a random troll stirring up trouble. There were always players like that in these games, and they never ceased to be annoying. Another message came through from Jazzus, blinking urgently.
Kromgorn, are you on your way? Hurry!
I set my jaw and forced myself to calm down. I could deal with Erlix later. For now, Jazzus needed me. I have to get to her soon, in case we'd missed our window to see what Vierdeman was doing. I dashed across town with a hasty wave to Kurth and headed for the Minx Bank. It only took a moment to refill my gold reserves, although my bank balance was growing lower than I would have liked due to expensive armor repairs. I scratched my chin and surveyed the other items stashed away in my vault, wondering if any of them would be useful in a fight with Vierdeman and his guildies. I had collected quite the array of potions, magical devices, weapons, and baubles in my nearly 50 levels of adventuring, but I didn't have time now to refresh myself on what they all did. Instead, I grabbed a few health potions and a level 20 cloak of invisibility that a guildmate had made for me. It wouldn't help much against an 80th level lich, but my stealth skills sucked, and we might need to do some sneaking. A few moments later, I was soaring through the air on a wyvern, flying over the zones that made up the southern kingdom of Lorengard. The wyvern was on a direct flight path I'd pay the travel master handsomely for, and I clung to its back and enjoyed the wind whipping through my hair as I sped over fields and forests of zones I hadn't visited in 30 levels, populated with mobs too low level for me to care about. The flying in this game was almost as good as the food, and I couldn't wait until I hit level 60 and could purchase a flying mount of my own. The pre-programmed routes were exciting enough, but a flying mount that could go anywhere opened up a whole new set of zones for me. The Sky Islands, the Eternal Deep, and the Lost Continent were just three of the places I'd heard higher-level players talk about that I couldn't wait to explore. In fact, it was pretty weird that Vierdeman was bothering with the burning fields at all. It was a desolate wasteland of ash and fire on the northern edge of Lorengard, unremarkable, except for a low-traffic, level 40-ish dungeon full of Death Cult orcs. Players avoided the Death Cult because they hit unusually hard for their level and were highly fire-resistant, which was the most popular class of spell damage for leveling wizards. By the time you could easily fight the orcs, the loot they dropped wasn't really worth it. What business would an 80th level lich have in a level 40 zone? Vierdeman usually had way more important things to do than power level his guild. My wyvern touched down at the southern edge of the zone, and Burning Fields level 40 flashed across my HUD in big red letters before fading. I hopped off, and the wyvern screeched and shook itself out before trotting beside the stablemaster and fading away. Immediately, a party invitation flashed into my field of view from Jazzus. I accepted, and I could now see her marker in the distance, not far from the imposing black tower of the Death Cult orcs in the middle of the zone. I scratched my head. Was Vierdeman just clearing out a low-level dungeon for fun? Or maybe he was recruiting the orcs to help him in his war against our guild. That was one of the cool things about highly intelligent AI NPCs. You could form alliances, hire them, talk them into helping you, and sometimes even be persuaded into helping them. I reached up to loosen my sword on its scabbard and began to lope across the burning, ashy fields towards Jazzus.
Chapter 2. Jazzus was lying flat on a hill overlooking the Death Cult Tower, her eyes glowing blue with an enhanced vision spell. I squinted at the tower too as I lay beside her, but seeing anything useful was fruitless without magic. Orcs milled around the bottom and came in and out of the huge black-gated entrance, but we knew there would be orcs already.
"What do you see? What is Vierdeman doing?"
I prodded her. I needed information, and I was getting itchy that I hadn't got to kill anything yet.
"He's at the top of the tower," Jazza said carefully, "in the Orc King's room. I can see his magical signature, but I can't tell what he's doing. I got a tip that he might be trying to pull something big tonight, and we need to figure out what it is."
"Can he really get anything useful from a level 40 dungeon?" I asked. "It seems like he could just clear the whole place with the summoned necro dragon or something."
Jazza shook her head.
"I don't think he's trying to get anything. I think he's trying to do something. Think, Cromgorn, what's special about this zone?"
"Nothing," I replied,
ticking mentally through the same observations I made earlier.
"Other than the fact that it's right in the middle of all four kingdoms, I don't see
I trailed off, realization dawning.
Oh.
Jazzus nodded, and I kicked myself for not seeing it sooner. The Burning Fields were a crossroads of sort between the four major factions of Fantasy Realms Online. The humans of Lorengard to the south, the Dark Legion to the north, the Elven Highlands in the west, and the Wild Fae Dominion to the east. There were far more kingdoms and lands to explore, of course, but those were the four starting areas for new players, and the four largest factions tied to the central landmass of the main continent. If Vierdemann had some dark magic planned that was supposed to give him a game-wide advantage over his enemies, he'd need to launch it from the most centralized region in the land. And that happened to be right here, in the Burning Fields, at the top of Death Cult Tower.
We need to stop him, whatever he's doing, I said. If he gets a serious advantage, we'll be really hosed. His guild already has a slight level edge on us.
We're gonna have to go in there to do that, Jazzus said, eyeing the orcs warily.
She nervously twirled her staff in her left hand, blue robes dulled only slightly by the ash that kicked up all around us.
I wish Haxor Topper were online.
Me too.
I drew my sword and plunged it tip first into the dirt, leaning on the haft as I tried to figure out what the best way to get in there would be. Haxor and Topper were our two highest level players in the guild. Topper, a level 75 paladin, and Haxor, a level 68 spellblade. Both would have come in really handy for an assault against Vierdemann. I was tanky for a barbarian, but really, Jazzus and I were both DPS classes. Without a healer, more DPS, or a proper tank, we wouldn't be able to take on an extended dungeon crawl against the orcs.
Is anyone else online?
It's too late at night for most of our guild.
Jazzus shook her head. She knew as well as I did that a frontal assault wouldn't work. She whispered some words and made a few gestures in the air before fading from sight with an invisibility spell. I could still see a faint, ghostly outline of her body since we were grouped together, but to everyone else, she looked like empty air.
We'll need to sneak in. How's your stealth skill?
Atrocious, but that's why I brought this.
I pulled the level 20 invisibility cloak out of my bag and draped it around my body, noting that it filled my shoulder slot on the character sheet that flashed briefly on the side of my HUD. I need to get a real shoulder slot eventually, but it was mostly a vanity slot until level 60 or so. Useful to look cool and use limited charge trinkets like my cloak. I activated the cloak and watched as my hands fade to the same translucent quality that Jazz's had.
Level 20? She asked, rolling her eyes. That's not gonna last long here.
They're expensive, okay? It'll last long enough to get in and check things out. You might not think we can fight our way in, but I feel confident I can fight my way out with this epic sword.
I patted the hilt again, beaming at her.
You put too much faith in your items, she grumbled, but then she sighed. Fine, let's go. Just be careful, okay? Vierdemann is tricksy.
Slipping past the orcs at the gate turned out to be trivially easy, since the casters that would sometimes see through invisibility had gotten lazy by keeping the spell up. Even that was a realistic twist the game designers included, I noted. If they don't have PCs showing up to kill them all the time, they get soft and lazy. I might have to come back and try my blade on a few of them later, before I completely outleveled the zone. Fire resistance wouldn't bother a barbarian with a level 60 quality sword. But Jazzus was also right that it wouldn't make sense to go charging in, whether we could kill them or not. Alerting Vierdemann to our presence would be very, very bad. The only way we could hope to stop him would be if we could surprise him. I hadn't run this dungeon before, but Jazzus seemed to know the way, and I followed her through a series of twisting passages and staircases, dodging orc warriors and staying out of the field of vision of the wizards and warlocks, just in case they hadn't all gotten lazy. As we approached the top of the tower, the smell of sulfur and death intensified. My blade pinged briefly, telling me it was an aura of evil, one of many handy features of the weapon. As good-aligned characters, we'd be fighting at a disadvantage here. Jazz has held up a single hand to me, halting, as we approach a giant set of double doors that must have led to the Orc King's chamber, and nodded to a winding side passage that I hadn't even noticed. It went further up the tower. We advanced that way, ignoring the direct route, and soon emerged along a balcony that encircled the hall where the Orc King's throne sat. Jazzus motioned me forward, and we crouched at the balcony's edge to survey the room. Below us, the Orc King himself sat on his throne. Floating text above him read, "Death Cult Orc King, level 50. So he was obviously still alive. But rather than haughty and proud, as I would have expected, he seemed tense and still, almost lifeless. Then, I noticed the corpses littered around the room. Dozens and dozens of the Death Cult's royal guard, slaughtered by dark magic. The telltale oily shimmer of necromancy sorcery still coated their lifeless bodies. It didn't even look like they'd been looted, and I fought the urge to hop down and rifle through their pockets. My eyes lingered, though. What loot might they have on them? You never knew where epic item might drop. Jazzus pointed at the Orc King and whispered, "Hold, monster. It's a very high-level spell. Vierdemann has him paralyzed."
"Where is Vierdemann?" I whispered back. "Shouldn't he be here?"
Jazzus nodded down to the floor below us, and I craned my neck over the balcony as far as I dared to look. We were invisible, but taking chances was stupid. Vierdemann wouldn't be as lazy as the NPC orcs. The lich himself was on his hands and knees in front of the great double doors, scratching arcane symbols on the floor with a piece of chalk. Vierdemann, level 80 human lich, floated over him, and he kept pausing to look at an open tome beside him before returning to his work. I shuddered slightly. He was one of a handful of players who had reached level 80 in the game, and it was rare enough to see it that it made me nervous. That was silly, of course. Killing me would only send me back to my bind point in Lorengard, and I could always log out. But he could still make things very unpleasant for us, and take all of the gear off our bodies if he killed us. Suddenly, bringing my treasured sword along on our little raid didn't seem like such a great idea. Yeah, it was a great weapon, but what if I lost it? My stomach sank. I have to be very careful. If I only...
"Hey!"
I hissed at Jazzus.
"What are you doing?"
She was creeping forward along the slanted balcony, drawing closer to Vierdemann.
"I think I can get a clear shot at him," she replied. "Maybe not take him out, but stun him long enough to grab that book and run."
"Are you crazy? What if he resists your spell?"
She shrugged.
"Then you grab the book while I distract him."
I hesitated, but then nodded. It was as good a plan as any. Vierdemann was strong, but not strong enough to waltz into the middle of Lorengard as a member of the Dark Legion, and I could probably get to the Flightmaster before he finished off Jazzus. I'd known this mission was going to be dangerous, and Epic Sword or no Epic Sword, our guild would be screwed if Vierdemann could pull off a game-wide curse of some kind. Snagging the book might slow him down, or at least give us an idea of what he'd done so we could undo it. I raised my blade and laid a hand on the railing, preparing to leap down and grab the book as soon as Jazzus tried her stun spell. Jazzus edged closer. She stumbled as ear-shattering sirens sounded all around us. I dropped to my knees, covering my ears with my hands and trying to drown out the sonic disturbance.
"Motherfucker,"
Jazzus mouthed, though the sound didn't pierce the klaxon of the alarms.
"It's a sonic alarm!"
I tried to shout back, but I couldn't even hear my own voice. We should have known better than to try to sneak up on a high-level magic user. He'd obviously set up a proximity alarm that triggered for visible and invisible foes alike. Now that we'd been affected by it, both of our invisibility buffs had dropped. The flashing red crossed swords in the upper left of my hood told me I was stuck in combat mode now until I disengaged, which meant running away. We couldn't afford to run now. Ignoring the screeching pain and the flashing debuff to my combat skill the sound had inflicted upon me, I lurched up and vaulted over the side of the railing, landing in a careful, panther-like crouch, my sword at the ready. Jazz's thumped down beside me, whirling arcane bells of purple energy dancing around her hands as she shook her head to try and clear the ringing that was no doubt affecting her as badly as it was me. The alarms died then, their purpose complete, as we faced down our enemy head to head. Vierdemann stared before us, smiling evilly in his jet-black robes and fluttering cloak. I couldn't be sure, but the rod on his back looked an awful lot like a level 80 staff of matter manipulation, which I'd only seen on some of the data mining websites I followed. Somehow, he'd gotten a hold of it for real in-game. Bad news for our whole guild. In the time we'd taken to recover from his alarm and drop to the floor, he'd already prepared his spells. And I didn't like the look of either ball of energy floating above his hands. Jazz struck first, whipping her purple energy balls towards the lich. But he casually gestured and sent his own, larger spiel of yellow energy back toward her. It passed right through her pitiful projectiles, absorbing them into itself, and smacked into Jazz's body with a sizzling thump that left her in a crumpled heap. I lifted my sword and charged, howling with rage, and thanks to my avatar's quick reflexes trait, I managed to dive under the second energy ball Vierdemann chucked towards me. I rolled and came up swinging, but Vierdemann floated up, levitating out of the way of my broad stroke as he stifled a yawn. He lifted a finger, looking almost bored, and a purple electrical bolt shot out and covered me in twisting, twitching purple lines. My body began to convulse uncontrollably, and my sword clattered to the floor. I watched my health flash lower and lower in my HUD while Vierdemann drained me. There really wasn't too much pain you could feel in game. Any more than a minor discomfort would make playing unbearable. But I was covered in minor discomfort and powerless to stop him. I blacked out just shy of death, falling to the ground beside my prized sword, and inwardly cursed myself for ever thinking it would be a good idea for us to battle an 80th level lich by ourselves. Chapter 3. I poked at the blowing blue lines of the energy cage that Jazzus and I had woken up in. The bars crackled. Zep! Oh! I muttered, shaking my hand to cool off my electrified fingers.
Don't bother,
Jazzus said gloomily. She sat beside me, her arms wrapped around her knees and her forehead on her forearms.
It won't drain your HP enough to kill you, but it won't be comfortable. Energy cages are a mid-level spell, but they stay effective at all levels. We won't have much luck getting out of these until someone comes to rescue us or Vierdemann lets us go.
I snorted. Fat chance of that. He'd left us in the back corner of the chamber and gone back to his book and his runes, not even bothering to talk to us. But of course, that's how he operated. You didn't get to be a level 80 guild leader and lich by being stupid. And Vierdemann wouldn't spill his master plan just to brag to us.
We have to get our hand on that book, I muttered. Did you try logging out and calling anyone IRL?
Jazzus nodded.
They're all sleeping. Or at least they're not answering phone calls or texts. I figure I'm doing more good here in game, looking for an opening, than just logging out for the night. By morning, it might be too late.
I frowned, studying my surroundings. All of our gear lay piled in the other corner, and my sword jutted out of the heap, teasing me enticingly. It might as well have been all the way in the western Feywilds, for all the good it was doing me now. Vierdemann had taken our possessions and shown his cleverness again by not killing us outright. If he'd killed us, we just would have respawned at our bind point in Lorengard, and we could have tried again, or gathered some support from one of the other guilds. But keeping us alive and trapped here, he'd ensured he'd have enough time to finish whatever evil sorcery he was doing.
You said these cages are a mid-level spell. Can't you dispel them or something?
She shook her head.
Not from inside. They don't work like that. Maybe if I had an arcane disruptor or something, but I'm helpless without that.
I sighed. We didn't have one of those anyway. This was literally the only scenario where it would have been useful. And even if we had brought one, It will be lying over there in the pile with the rest of our goods. I felt pretty stupid. We should have known Vierdemann would have alarms set. It was a rookie mistake. Also, if I'd had a few minutes to review my bank items, I might have been able to fish out some combination of traps and magical devices to create a diversion that would have actually distracted the Lich. I wish Jazzes hadn't hurried me so much. But there was no point in pointing fingers now. She had been right about the urgency, and she couldn't have known ahead of time what we might need anyway. I tapped my finger to my nose thoughtfully. If only we had someone else that could smuggle us a few bank items. Someone who could come prepared, knowing what cloaking items they'd need.
Jazzes, I said slowly, do you still have Lacey's account info?
Lacey was Haxor's long-term, super-rich girlfriend. He tried to get her into Fantasy Realms Online for a while, but she was one of those girls who didn't have any interest in role-playing games. She'd made a low-level, terribly built character that we all privately made fun of, wandered around in-game a little bit, and then quit, never to return. But apparently, she was so loaded in cash IRL that she hadn't even bothered to turn off her expensive subscription to the game. I wondered what it would be like to have that much money. I could barely afford the one subscription with a full-time job. Having a spare account was a luxury that was too good to pass up. So we still used her character as a shared bank alt, though we didn't put anything too valuable on her just in case they broke up. Usually, Jazzes controlled her when we needed something. She nodded now.
Yeah, but I don't see how that helps us here. What is a level 3 courtesan going to do for us, other than just getting fucked by the Lich over there?
Jazzes was exaggerating, but I still winced.
I can't believe she actually took a courtesan as her class. What a hoe. But I was thinking that we might have sent her enough potions and gadgets that she could sneak her way in here. I recall sending her an arcane disruptor at one point.
You're right.
Jazzes' eyes widened.
Nice, Kromkorn. That just might work. We're gonna need to move fast, though. As soon as she enters the room, she's in major danger. And any stealth skills or spells she has will drop when she tries to pass anything into the cages.
So?
I asked.
If she brings the right items, we can escape the cages and get out right away. And this time, we'll catch Vierdemann by surprise.
No, I agree,
Jazzes said, her voice sounding amused.
It's just, Kromgorn, what's your magical device skill at?
I double-checked my stat sheet in my HUD. It was a measly level 15. Honestly, even using the invisibility cloak had been a stretch for me. My face fell, and I grumbled the answer to her question.
Yeah, that's what I thought. There's no way you can use the Arcane Disruptor, Krom. You'd fail the skill check, blow the whole plan, and we'd be right back where we started. We also don't have time for log-in and log-out hijinks, where you hold the items until I get back. Way too risky.
Jazzes,
I warned, not liking where this was going, but then she said it anyway.
You need to take the login info and bring me the items, dude. It's the only way to make this work.
I blew my cheeks out in an angry huff. Jazzes knew exactly what I thought of men who played female characters in these games, and vice versa. It was weird and uncomfortable for everyone involved. I could see why it might be fun to try it out and go have sex once or twice, but getting a count lock into that gender would suck balls, which is how they stop most people from doing it. Because of how realistic the in-game simulation of body sensations were, lots of people had a lot of serious concerns about men playing women and vice versa. It was strongly discouraged by the company who made Fantasy Realms Online, and they were already fighting enough moral battles without adding this on top of it. To try the other gender as an avatar, you basically had to either fake your gender during account creation or borrow someone else's account, and both were usually wildly impractical. Wildly impractical, unless you just happen to have a rich friend who didn't care what you used her account for.
No, I replied. No way. I am not going to log into a weird girl's body and have everyone laugh and stare at my stupid courtesan ass
while I haul potions across Lorengard for you. Forget it.
Jazz's expression darkened.
You know, Crom, I don't like logging into Lacey either. I'm pretty proud of my badass wizard here, and it's embarrassing for me to run around in skimpy, low-level courtesan gear, with everyone thinking I'm just some stupid bimbo who doesn't know anything about the game. I do plenty of potion hauling for you and Haxor and that stupid avatar, and I just deal with people having to stare at me and laugh at me.
I weathered her long-winded diatribe and then gave the obvious reply.
Yeah, but you're a girl, IRL, so it's no big deal, right? You're used to it.
Uh-oh, I thought. Wrong answer. Jazz's had fixed me with a truly withering glare, and it made me want to sink into my boots.
Regardless, she said, biting off each syllable individually with her sharpest tone. It doesn't change anything about our situation here. This is our only shot to stop Beardeman, so I think you should get over yourself and do it for the good of the guild.
I winced again. That hit close to home. My Fantasy Realms Online guild was the only group of friends I had, and if whatever Vierdeman was doing was really that bad, I'd hate myself for not doing everything in my power to stop him, no matter how distasteful it was. I had to stick up for my friends. They were counting on me. More importantly, Jazzus would tell them about my betrayal if I didn't.
Fine, I said through gritted teeth. But you owe me, okay?
Instantly, Jazz's usual cool, collected demeanor returned.
Of course.
A message popped up at the bottom of my HUD, Lacey's login credentials. I memorized them with a sigh.
Anything else you want me to grab out of the bank while I'm in Lorengard?
Jazz's ticked the items off of her fingers.
You'll need an all-level stealth cloak and a few potions of invisibility as backup, some explosive fire traps you can set for a diversion, and the arcane disruptor, of course. I'm pretty sure I dumped all of these items on her last time I played her. The character is too low level for her basic courtesan skills to be useful here. But grab the potion of temporary level boost she has in her bank. It's soulbound, so you can't lose it when you die. And it's a one-shot rare item that kicks you up 40 levels or so for a brief period of time and buffs all your skills. You might be able to use her seduce skill to distract an orc in a pinch or something.
I blushed right red and hastily protested,
I'm not using Lacey's seduction skills on anyone. Jesus, Jazzus, do you think I'm gay or something?
Relax, Crom, she said, rolling her eyes at me. For one thing, I don't care if you're gay or straight. No one does. It's 2017. And for another, it's just a game. Besides, you'll be playing a girl. In what universe is a girl seducing dudes gay in the slightest?
She made some good points, but I still didn't think I'd be seducing anyone as Lacey the courtesan. That would be way too weird for me.
Fine, I replied. Anything else?
Nope, Jazza said brightly. Hurry up. We don't have all night, and you only have one shot here.
She winked at me.
And don't forget to have fun, sweet cheeks.
Not funny, I grumbled, the scene fading away as I logged out.
Chapter 4. It took about 30 seconds to log out of Cromgorn, and another 30 seconds to input Lacey's credentials and log into her avatar. The transition was pretty seamless, since I didn't even bother to jack out of my VR rig, but I knew Jazzus was right. The 60 seconds it would have taken her to bounce from Lacey back to her main would have been way too long for me to stand there helplessly in my cage, holding our items and waiting for her to come back. I didn't have to like it, but I knew I was doing the right thing for my guild. The gray loading screen faded away to reveal the bright, sunny main street of Minsk. I was back in Lorengard again, standing directly in front of the bank. But everything looked a little weird, and my body suddenly felt a lot weird. I peered at the mailbox and the characters around me, trying to figure out why such a familiar scene looked so off to me. Then it hit me. Cromgorn was a half-giant barbarian who stood nearly 7 feet tall. But now I was piloting Lacey, a female human courtesan. She was only 5'6",
an average human female size, so I'd lost nearly a foot and a half of height. I was used to looking down on people, and now I was straining up for every inch of height and craning my neck to look up at most of the other players, who were either men or the taller elvish races. And that wasn't the only annoying thing about this delicate female body that was a drag. I poked at the huge, ample breasts Haxor's girlfriend had given her character, because she wanted her to be sexy, and I shuddered as I felt them jiggle. I mean, it felt nice to touch them, and any other time I might have snuck off to play with them a little bit, but talk about impractical in a fight. She wouldn't even be able to swing a proper sword arc without her boobs getting in the way. Her hips were also shapely, despite how slender she was overall, and her tummy was tight and small, giving her a decent hourglass shape. I shook my head at what a stupid form this was for an online role-playing game, and noticed that curly blonde locks waved artfully around my face at about shoulder length. Even the clothes were ridiculous and impractical. Flared pink pants made of soft, silky material, velvet slippers, and a tube-top shirt that somehow still managed to have a V-neck and lift my already large breasts even higher. There was a delicate chain-link gold choker around my neck, a silly ornament considering it wasn't even magical. And I was pretty sure this avatar was wearing a thong beneath her pants, with the uncomfortable way the fabric was stretching up between my ass cheeks. It all felt too tight and constricting against my unusually sensitive skin, and I picked at the tube top and the pants, trying to adjust my underwear to be slightly more comfortable. It didn't help. Someone snickered nearby, and I glanced up to see Duder's level 11 half-elf warrior laughing at me.
"Still getting used to your online body, babe?"
he asked, guffawing at me.
"I can help you out if you need a hand with those tits."
I narrowed my eyes at him and grabbed for my sword, but of course, my hand just swiped empty air over my shoulder. Lacey the courtesan didn't have a sword. I didn't even know what courtesans used for weapons in battle. Fans or some stupid shit like that, maybe? I couldn't believe I was taking flack from a level 11 peon named Duders of all things. And I almost set him straight about who my main was, but I bit my tongue just in time. Cromgorn was well known on this server. The last thing I needed was for people to think I spent time prancing around as Lacey the courtesan when I wasn't busy slaying demons in the hinterlands of Lorengard.
"Shut up, dickface,"
I growled instead. Or I tried to growl it. But instead of the menacing, throaty rumble I was usually able to muster, the words popped out of my mouth in the high-pitched, indignant tone of a tiny, pissed-off chick. Duders just laughed hard at me, and I stomped away from him and into the bank, my cheeks flushing wildly. Running around in this girl's avatar was already sucking, so the sooner I could get it over with, the better. Besides, I didn't have time to trade insults. Jazzus needed me. Players giving me guff was bad enough, but I knew the NPCs would also be a hassle. They were coded to respond appropriately to your class, race, and gender. The Fantasy Realms Online devs were mostly dudes, of course, so when I showed up in front of the banker...
"Hey there, hot stuff,"
he said, raising a bushy eyebrow and ogling my curves.
"How can the Bank of Mints help your cute little self today?"
I gritted my teeth and ignored his banter. It would be as pointless as telling Kurt the innkeeper to shove it. It was just in his programming.
"Let me see my bank,"
I ordered, wishing again that Lacey had picked literally any other class for her main character. He waved a hand towards a vault door with a wink, and I felt his eyes on my ass as I hurried through, eager to get away from all this uncomfortable attention. This body was impossible to move around in without swaying my hips, and I had hips that were literally designed to draw people's gaze to them now. Inside the bank were stacks and stacks of the low-level trade skill materials that we kept on Lacey, and a very small shelf of important items Jazzes had stored here too. I quickly started digging through the piles, looking for the items she recommended. I collected the fire traps, the all-level cloak of invisibility. Thank goodness she stashed that here. Some potions of invisibility as backup, and the arcane disruptor. It looked like a glowing blue top, marked up with some mystical purple symbols, and I dumped it into my bag along with all the other items. As I turned to go, an amber-colored potion on the shelf caught my eye. The potion of temporary level boost Jazzus had mentioned. I chewed my lip, wondering if it was really worth using here. It was a one-shot item that came with the collector's edition of the game we'd all purchased, and most of the guild had used ours ages ago. A temporary 40-level boost was a huge advantage, and it seemed stupid to waste it on enabling a level 3 Lacy to seduce an orc. Not that I would be doing that anyway. But still, you never knew. Better safe than sorry, and it's not like I could lose it. It was soulbound and would stay in my inventory through death. I pocketed the potion, grabbed a small bag of gold, and raced to the mint's flightmaster. This time, I didn't even bother waiting for the sexy banter. I just threw a coin at him, hopped on the wyvern, and headed for the burning fields for the second time today. As I clung to the wyvern, wind whipping my golden curls around my face, I pulled up Lacey's character screen. I had time to kill during the flight, and I was curious just how poorly she'd built this character. It was worse than I expected. She hadn't just dumped all her points into charisma. Oh no, nothing so simple as that. She drained her other stats to boost it even higher. Strength, constitution, intelligence, and wisdom were all at pitiful levels. So not only was his avatar horribly weak and fragile, NPCs and enemy mobs would also treat her like she was dumb as dirt, and she had no spell resist to speak of. The only stats she had left at normal level, though still unimpressive, were dexterity and agility. I rolled my eyes, wondering if she'd be hoping that would help her perform in the bedroom. Every other point she had went into charisma, which was as high as it could go during the character creation. The burning fields began to roll past at the edges of my character screen, and I closed it with a sigh. At least all the NPCs would instantly like her, which was important since they wouldn't consider her opinion, put any stock in what she said, or respect her fighting prowess at all. How annoying. Why would anyone want to play a character like this? Girls like this in real life were bad enough, and I wondered if that's what Haxor's girlfriend was like out of the game too. I slid off the wyvern as I touched down, pulled my invisibility cloak around my shoulders, and raced back to where Jazzus and I had first been surveying the Death Cult Tower. I crouched down, my skin translucent once again with the invisibility spell, and checked out the entrance. This time, it would be even more dangerous, because if my spell dropped, or if an orc wizard just happened to have see invisibility up, I'd be helpless. But something was different this time. All the orcs were dead, lying in pools of their own blood on the ground. My eyes widened in surprise, but I didn't waste the opportunity. Whoever had fought their way in had given me an opening, and I needed to hurry and take it before the orcs respawned. I ran into the tower, following the same path I'd taken earlier. I was still cautious, moving quietly through the halls with my invisibility cloak up, but it was the same story everywhere. Dead orcs on the ground, slaughtered silently. I paused for a moment and strained my ears. No sounds of clashing battle came from anywhere in the tower. The assassin killing these orcs had been quick, efficient, and likely stealthed. Probably a single, high-level player rather than a full party. Did Vierdeman have backup coming to join him? I'd have to be even more careful. I crept forward, feet padding quietly against a black stone, grateful that my lack of armor and velvet slippers could make up for a non-existent sneak skill. By the time I reached the huge black double doors of the Orc King's chamber, I was getting really nervous. I didn't hear any sounds of fighting, which meant I had to be getting close.
Eek!
I squeaked as the tip of a dagger appeared at my neck. Someone had materialized behind me, and they slid their left arm around me to pin down my arms to prevent my escape, dagger still poised uncomfortably at my throat. My invisibility spell popped, and I didn't move a muscle. Apparently, the assassin could see through invisibility too. I could not afford to get killed and respawn in Loreguard right now. I felt totally helpless, and I could feel the heat of the strong, male assassin's body radiating off of him on the bare parts of my skin. My nipples hardened, and I cursed how realistically they model the natural reactions of the female human body in this game. But then, the figure released me and spun me around.
Yvette?
He asked in a surprised tone of voice. I blinked at the assassin in shock, my mouth dropping open. Haxor, level 68 half-elf spellblade, stood before me. I collected myself enough to shake my head at his question.
Who's Yvette?
I asked. Haxor narrowed his eyes and pointed at me.
My girlfriend. You're wearing her avatar, Lacey. Who are you? I already saw Jazzus is still in the game.
I blushed, avoiding looking him directly in the eyes, and kicked to the ground in front of me.
It's, I'm Kromgorn.
He took half a step back and shook his head.
Jesus, really, dude? It's weird enough that Jazzus runs around in her avatar, but now you too?
Believe me, I didn't want to,
I protested.
I'm only doing this because... Look, you know what? It's a long story. I'll explain later. When did you show up?
I got Jazzus' text and called Topper until he woke up too. He's on the way, but I don't think he'll get here in time. Vierdeman looks like he's wrapping up with his ritual.
He glanced over his shoulder towards the balcony stairwell, clearly nervous about even this small amount of time we were wasting.
Well, let's go,
I said, digging all the items we need out of my bag.
You can give these to Jazz, and I'll log back into Krom.
No time,
Haxor said with a quick shake of his head. We need to interrupt Vierdeman now.
But Hax, I'm not going to be of any help unless...
Shh! I don't need you either way. Come on, stick to your original plan, and I'll keep the big V busy.
He turned on his heel and raced up the steps, moving silently, even in his medium armor with a maxed-out sneak skill. I shook with frustration, so mad that I actually stomped my foot on the ground. Haxor wasn't usually so dismissive of my plans, and I bet it had to do with how I looked and sounded right now. But there was nothing to do but continue. Haxor was always overconfident, and he'd need backup to take on the Lich. I tossed down a few fire traps in front of the door, in case orcs came, or Vierdeman tried to run, and followed him up the steps, Arcane Disruptor clutched tightly in my hand. Chapter 5. I took the stairs two at a time, moving as quickly as my short little legs could carry me, but Haxor was faster. By the time I reached the top, he was already vaulting over the edge, daggers bare to confront Vierdeman. I had to move fast too, although, as a high-level spellblade, Haxor stood a much better chance of fighting the Lich than Jazz and I had had. Spellblades had all kinds of tricks to deal with enemy mages, and were often used to take them out in pinpointed strikes during large battles. But then again, 12 levels was still a big difference. I rolled over the banister and followed Haxor to the ground, landing with a thump beside him. The fall nearly knocked me over, since I was still adjusting to this body's proportions. But after a moment of wobbling, I managed to keep my balance and not fall flat on my face.
Go, Haxor hissed,
and shoved me into a stumbling sprint towards the energy cages while he squared his stance and fixed a steely gaze on the Lich. Jazz waved eagerly at me, hand outstretched for the Arcane Disruptor.
Won't you peons leave me in peace?
Vierdeman demanded, standing from his crouch and shaking his head.
Doesn't matter. The ritual is complete. You can't stop it now.
He threw his head backwards and cackled evilly, and I wondered if that was something he practiced at home in the mirror.
Sounds like a bluff, Haxor growled, and leapt towards Vierdeman, daggers flashing.
I slapped the Arcane Disruptor into Jazzus's hand, doing my best to ignore the flashes and bangs from the frenzied magical battle occurring over my shoulder.
There, are you good?
She nodded, concentrating on the glowing top and running her fingers over the arcane runes.
Thanks. Perfect.
She jammed the tip of it directly into the cage bar and grinned as a spell flickered and the bars winked out. Then she grabbed me in a big hug.
Thanks, Krom. You're the best. Let's go help Hax.
I grinned and twisted awkwardly, trying to ignore how nice it felt for our breasts to press together when she gathered me up in a hug like that. I'd had the strangest urge to start kissing her, which I chalked up to another annoying side effect of my class and statistics. Jezzis let me go and drew her staff from our equipment pile, beginning to call upon her arcane energies. My glowing epic sword stuck up from the same pile, calling out to me, but there was no way it'd be any use to me as Lacey. It was too high level for me to even wield it.
I'm switching back to Kromgorn,
I said, running the mental logout command. But then, nothing happened. I scrunched my face up, confused, but then I noticed a flashing combat symbol on my HUD.
Damn it, Jezzis. I can't log out. I got tagged in Haxor's combat with Vierdemann. They need to finish first.
Shit,
she swore, tossing me a sideways glance as she finished charging up her staff.
Okay, just, stay out of the way and try not to do anything stupid.
She sprang over to join the battle with Vierdemann, and there was nothing I could do but go and cower behind the Orc King's throne. I crouched behind the solid gold chair in the middle of the chamber, furious at the stupid Avatar for being so useless. I wanted to charge in beside my guildmates, epic sword swinging towards Vierdemann's stupid skull, and what did I have to do instead?
Nice tits, a gravelly voice said.
I jumped almost 6 inches in the air and whirled around to see Death Cult Orc King level 50 towering over me from a foot away. Vierdemann's hold spell must have worn out. I tried to scramble back, but he caught my wrist and yanked me closer. A leering grin cracked across his ugly green face, revealing rows of slimy yellow teeth, and I gagged as his rank breath washed over me. I twisted my wrist, trying to break free, but my avatar was so weak that I didn't even budge in his grip.
"What's a cute little courtesan doing in my lair?"
he asked, grabbing my other hand and lifting me up in the air by my arms. He turned me this way and that to inspect my body while I kicked my legs in the air and struggled helplessly, feeling humiliated.
"I'm not a cute little anything,"
I spat back at him, trying to figure out how I was going to deal with him.
"As soon as I'm back in my regular avatar, I'm going to come here and slay your ass with a single sword slice."
He snorted.
"Big words from a little girl. I have just the thing for you."
He switched his grip so he was holding both of my hands with one of his huge, meaty paws, and reached into his pocket to retrieve a delicate gold band. He snapped it snugly around my neck, and the clothes I'd been wearing shifted into an even skimpier gold bikini. I blushed, an even deeper shade of red than I'd been already, embarrassed to have so much of my body exposed. The Orc King smirked at my obvious discomfort and glanced back towards the fight.
"Now, we're getting away from these crazy wizards."
He tossed me over his shoulder, smacked my bottom a few times in a way that made me squeak with rage, and stalked towards the back wall, away from the fight between Vierdemann and my friends.
"Help!"
I called out as I bounced in place. But my friends were busy with their own problems. Haxor was still holding his own against the Lich, dodging nasty spells and whittling away at his HP, while Jazz's offered support and counterspells, putting the pressure on Vierdemann. But the Dark Wizard was giving as good as he got, maybe better. All three of them had looks of intense concentration fixed on their face. I'd heard stories about what the Orc King was doing to me. Some of the named NPCs, rather than killing their lower-level female characters, would capture them and keep them locked away in a harem, forced to fuck monsters and wear embarrassing outfits until they found a way to free themselves or call in their friends as backup. It had seemed like a funny and fitting punishment for silly girls who were bad enough players to let themselves be captured. But I couldn't believe that now I, Kromgorn the Barbarian, was about to be kidnapped into the Orc Realm's harem. The one silver lining was that at least I'd be able to log out once we got far enough away from Vierdemann that my combat flag could drop. Then I'd be able to log back in as Krom and help my friends with a fight. We could rescue Lacey's avatar later. While the Orc King futzed with some switches on the wall, I noticed that a glowing black ball of energy had begun to grow in the middle of the chamber, like a miniature version of a spherical lightning cloud. It crackled with purple energy, throwing lightning bolts off at random. What the hell is that? I wondered. I'd never seen any spell like it before in the game, and I didn't like how quickly it was growing.
Jezzis, look!
I screamed, pointing at it. The ball was expanding at an alarming pace, growing by a few inches every second, and Jazzus and the Orc King both turned to see what I was pointing at together.
What in the name of the gods is that?